the grade cricketer is a Twitter stream. It's about playing cricket at the grade level.
It's a tough, mean, dirty, dirty business being a grade cricketer.
A lot of cricketers, you know, that's all they know. They've done it since they're 10 and they have a deep-seated fear of change.
But the grade cricket is all about being the most alpha version of yourself as possible, at all costs and at all times.
I don't bat or bowl. I just feel the gully, count the number of dot balls in a row, sledge 15-year-olds, make me feel better about myself.
Thanks champ.
Oh, no, you called me champ.
Welcome to the Grade Cricketer Podcast. On today's show, the US have killed the second most powerful man in the round. World War III is trending on Twitter. Australia is on fire. And Colin de Grandhomme opens the bowling in Test Match Cricket. Welcome to the first week of 2020. Is Manus Labuschagne the best since Bradman? Are Australia back? And what does this mean for the World Test Championship? The Big Bash is on in the background. Someone's hitting sixes. The stars are good. The sixes are good. But can cricket win the ratings war against I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, or a popular Roblinda 2 clip? England are winning in South Africa, but are dropping like flies off the field as the UK press pack have declared this a banter tour. Sean Abba's on the show, and hashtag RCGC gets into all the usually weird areas. Of course, this is all thanks to Budgie Smuggler, budgiesmuggler.com. My name is Ian Higgins, and I'm joined by Dave Edwards to my left and Sam Perry to my right. Boys, first question. The summer just about wrapped up now, but we'll test summer anyway. Can you sum up Australia's test summer in one word or less?
Can I get clarification on this, he goes, and hello and happy new year, incidentally.
Cheers.
Like Australia's test summer is in the team's test summer or just a word for the test summer overall?
Test summer overall. Give me an overall, right. Overarching.
Hmm. Low key.
Okay.
Cleansing. That's two words.
Cleansing. Sorry.
Cleansing. Okay.
There's been a cleansing element to this. It's like we've just had, you know...
It makes me feel uneasy, just the word cleansing.
Well, in a way, we have cleansed.
Oh, my God.
Two teams in cricketing terms.
Yep.
But, fuck. It's been a long holiday period.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, sport is Netflix, as we know, and this has been a difficult third season. You know, season one was where cheats... Season two was fake nice guys, and season three has been what, Manus? You know, like it's been really low key, and they've needed to reset and destroy a few tier two nations. They've done it.
Yep.
Yeah.
As we go to air, it looks as though Australia will win.
What a turnaround it's been. New Zealand win.
Yeah, that's true.
By 8 wickets. Yeah.
I think for my word, like I just want to say safe. And that's an ironic word, obviously, because as a nation, we've never felt less safe than we do today. The ever present fear of climate change and so forth. But. You know, and also our koala population has been basically cut in half overnight, so that's even more concerning from an eco-anxiety perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But the cricket has restored a level of safety, even though we as a nation have never felt less safe. We've seen Daddy Hudrons, Fifers.
Mm-hmm.
We will win all five home tests very convincingly. Not one stage through the summer have I felt threatened by Pakistan or New Zealand, I feel safe.
That's a great...
In cricket terms only.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Because I was just thinking about, like, over the course of the five tests that we've seen, every test has been more or less exactly the same.
Yeah.
I know that's a product of the format and the structure of a cricket match, in that one team has a go at batting, then the other team has a go, then they do it again, and then the other team wins. But, like...
There hasn't been one
Do you remember, like, if you go back to Pakistan, Pakistan, Brisbane, first test, Pakistan had a bat, and we're thinking, like, here we go, Australia back on the Gabba. And it was like, none for 60 at lunch.
Mm.
And it was like, oh, that's not that exciting. And then we bowled them out for like 140 or whatever. Mm. And it was like, oh, that's... Mm. And that's been sort of how it's gone for the rest of the summer. But at no point has any match been close, including the T20s against Sri Lanka.
Yep.
How good?
Yeah. How good?
Yeah. Fuck them.
It's appropriate.
Yeah.
But, you know, Manus was unearthed, really. I mean, we know he was getting good during the Ashes.
Mm.
But now we've just got a number three who scores heaps of runs, and we've needed that.
Mm.
And, you know, we look forward to India and England now. The next thing.
The next thing. Exactly
more important
right.
than
exactly
the current
right.
thing.
Exactly right. You were saying cleansing before.
I was.
Yeah. Like, Australia's still healing from the scars of... Obviously, no cricket was played in Australia last summer. No matches didn't exist, didn't happen.
Yeah.
So, like, in what way are you cleansed? It's like a
rejuvenation
period.
Runs. Some montages of Labuschagne raising his bat to the crowd.
Yeah.
You know, endless discussions of Smith versus Bradman. You know, like cricketing conversations. There's been nothing approaching a crisis really. Mm. So it's just been just a wave of
green shoots.
A wave of victories.
Green shoots have now come through, and you know, beautiful foliage is now being created.
Every time you turn on the TV, the correct numbers are on the screen. It, you know, yeah. like
two Tom Latham, 230.
Yeah, okay. Tom Latham it's three off 32 deliveries. He's tied down. You know, there's three slips and a gully, and they're all just chewing gum with their arms folded. These are the images,
the numbers are right that we've needed,
yeah. and we haven't had since the early 2000s.
We're not all out for 47.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they'll like Australia.
We're declaring. Travis we're thinking about when to declare, and yeah. we're putting them in with 25 exactly. overs left, and you know they're four for fuck all.
One declaration the... conversations. When are we going to take the new ball? Because either Lyon could knock them over, and Labuschagne could, or give it to Cummins and
making
Stark.
Our opponents take several new balls.
Yeah, third new ball.
Should we enforce the follow on? One of the great discussion points. Yeah. Sports science has suggested that is just a stupid rule, and you should always bat. Give the bowlers a rest.
Give our bowlers a rest.
Give them a rest.
Resting our bowlers.
One of the worst
dominating.
Things I've learnt for this bowling attack is for them to be bowling. That's why we don't play them in certain games, because the next thing's always the most important thing, including innings or test series.
And podcasts.
The next podcast after this one's the most important one. It's already in the back of my mind. So, SCG, this time of year, usually rains. A lot of rain this time of year. Mm. Not this time. Hasn't rained in Sydney since the late 90s, I think. There was day two, it was 49 degrees. It was the hottest hottest city in the world on day two, 49 degrees. I don't know what to make of that, but that is scary. And that's kind of like this whole summer, this test match is just going on in the background of like one of the biggest national disasters in possibly our lifetime. But did Australia's cricketers make us feel like it was okay, like Scott Morrison said it would?
It's not for us to answer, really. I mean, you'd have to ask the people who are going through it on the ground, I think. I think people have kind of correctly mocked that idea from Morrison, you know, the idea that like someone would be fighting a fire going, oh, Labuschagne's made 100, you beauty. Oh, Wade bowls 140. He's quicker than Southie. Anyway, that's gallows humour. But yeah, it's a bit of a joke, really. The whole thing's been really eerie, hasn't it? Very subdued. Yeah. I mean, we noticed that at our live shows in Sydney. I mean, Jim Maxwell described the SCG, the feeling at the SCG, which is normally a very happy test, even though it's always a dead rubber, has just been quite tranquil, and rightly so. You know, it's just cricket is insignificant.
So there was a story earlier in the year about the SCG wanting two tests. I don't know, just because they want it doesn't mean that's going to happen, but that'll happen. So how excited are you for two tests next year at the SCG?
In place of what?
I'm not excited about it at all. I mean, Sydney itself, the social construct Sydney, doesn't want another test. I mean, the SCG might want another test. Mm. Greedy cricket administrators always want more content, more cricket that you can monetize accordingly.
Yep.
But let's not fucking get greedy. We go to the SCG once a year. It's an annual thing. It has to be on at the time that it is on because it's, you know, everyone's on holidays. Mm. And all major events in Sydney need to be worked around our working schedules. It's the only way we can actually get people through the door.
So that's interesting, isn't it? Because like one of the great charges of this series is that like no one was there in Brisbane. Mm. You know, not many people there in Adelaide. Oh, whack, I want Boxing Day. How about turning up in your own test? But it's like the fucking entire country is off work for two weeks when Melbourne and Sydney have the test. So like
Sydney people need to go to work. So they need to put food on the table for wife and children and pay mortgages or multiple mortgages that they might have on property that they hold in Sydney.
Sure.
You can't put another test on during, you know, the working year because literally no one will go. There'll be literally no one.
So I was thinking the majority of the population, two biggest cities, Melbourne and Sydney. Mm. So therefore there are more people to go to the cricket. So shouldn't it be that like they should have a test match not during work times.
Yeah.
They should have it during work times. So like December, November, they should have the tests. And then like Brisbane, the Wacker, Adelaide should actually get those test matches.
It's just ended up, I mean, this discussion about crowds, which just comes up every year, like just eyeballs on TV and eyeballs inside the stadium. Like it really is quite spurious, isn't it? Like cricket is quite popular at the moment. When you look back at crowds decades ago, there weren't that many people there. That's like just a really sweeping statement, but it's true. We're just making up things to talk about again because we've just destroyed the opposition. And so there's just this ongoing conversation about the health of the game because cricket is so anathema to 21st century. And you know, the big conversation now is four-day test matches as well. And you know, people running kind of, you know, the administrators kind of running the line, well, it actually, you know, guarantees a bit more of a break for players. It's like, come on. You're just shaving off a day so you can play more T20s. You know what I mean?
It's a television product. It's not a live event. It's literally a product.
It's a TV show.
Television. There's two broadcasters of cricket
yeah.
in this country. Mm. It's just TV. It's made for TV.
Mm. I love that idea. Give the players a rest, therefore proving that, like, the players should not be playing.
Yeah.
That's the best thing for the players.
Yeah, when you've been the administrators to create the schedule that requires them to have a rest.
Stop them playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. T20s, too much. Mm. Get T10s going.
Yeah.
Mm. Marnus Labuschagne hit 215.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I know it's not the same because Steve Smith won the Ashes for Australia, or he retained the Ashes for Australia against an incredible attack away from home. But Marnus's summer actually might have been better than Steve Smith's. Well, he scored more runs.
No way.
Just don't like the runs, though.
Yeah.
Don't like watching those two back.
There were no runs better than Steve Smith's runs in my lifetime.
No.
Those runs, in that context, where they were, how he did it, they were the greatest runs I've seen.
Here's what I'm saying, though.
They were the right kind of runs.
Of course I agree with that. Those are the right kind of runs. Although, it was a little bit leg side for me.
A bit ugly, isn't it? How does it, yeah.
But, like, my point being, like, the sheer amount of runs that Labuschagne has got. Was he, like, is it three or four daddies?
Yeah.
Three or four daddies.
He loves a daddy.
Double hundred. It's incredible. It's an amazing summer.
I don't feel like it was, like, occupational as Alistair Cook out here at the start of, like, in the 2010s when he was out here. It was like he was always batting.
Yeah,
he was always batting at all times.
Him and Trott.
Yeah, I haven't felt like that. I mean, obviously, Labuschagne's done really well, but I felt like he's still been quite, you know, he's tread lightly, you know, around the innings. He's just been there. He's scored his hundreds. He's got out of there. He hasn't been kind of just this colossal figure on your screens at all times.
But he just must be in such a good place, Marnus.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously he has God on his side.
True.
Good point.
He's centered. He's hitting runs. He believes in God.
Mm-hmm.
His coach believes in God.
Mm.
We're doing well. We're feeling safe.
Fuck,
on the cricketing
field. That's
true.
That must feel great.
It must feel really good.
Yeah.
To believe in something and be successful at the thing you do.
I was watching, we're at the grounds when Marnus went past 200 and then it was that moment of sheer elation, so happy. And then about half an hour later, he got caught and bowled to Todd Astle. And then, like, just the disappointment in the shot. I was just like, when is fucking cricket good? Like, when are you happy with your performance? He hit 215.
Well, he's virtue signaling. He just needs to show that he's disappointed. He's elated internally, as you would be.
Sure.
But you have to virtue signal.
Yeah, okay. Because then there's like slow march off the field, and he's like, I've missed out today.
Yeah.
215 cricket runs in a test match.
It might just be like a habit, as Dave was saying. You know, there's always guys in the nets in club cricket who have to, like, yell an obscenity really loud if they don't time one properly, which is really just a signal to people that you believe you're a better batsman than that, when often you're not. That's just, you're just playing at your level. Yeah. In fact, the shot might have been good for your standard. But you still will, you know, you'll still just hit one, oh, fuck. Fuck's sake. You know, showing that you have standards. That,
That's actually good for your standard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you can hit like a massive six and just go, oh, a little bit toe end of that.
Yeah.
Didn't quite get it.
A bit clicky.
A little bit clicky. I'm just thinking, like, with Marnus, just to keep going on Marnus, like, can you think of another player that's had, like, as an immediate impact into the beginning of a test career?
Shane Warne, I suppose.
Yeah, but wasn't the Warne even kind of a bit of a slow burn? Like,
well, Labuschagne was, like, first few tests, he was why the fuck's this guy batting three and bowling leg spin? He averages 30.
I do remember people saying that.
Yeah, I know. It was the idiots.
Yeah.
Absolute idiots, and not us.
Fuck, we went so hard.
I know, but he was so funny, Labuschagne. He's so good. He just loves cricket.
How's he going to keep this up?
Yeah.
Like, how's he going to keep this perfect centeredness of it? Yeah, I'm looking forward to the difficult.
I don't know. He's very organized, though. He's so together in all aspects. Obviously, he's spiritually organized.
What's going to, like, throw him? Is it like, like on The Simpsons when, like, Homer discovers that God's not real and tells Ned Flanders and his heart just breaks? Is that the thing that's going to unravel?
That's
the only thing that can unravel Marnus is discovering that God's not real.
Yeah, so someone needs to discover
that God's not real, which everyone has.
It's going to be someone of the SCG members. Santa's not real. Hey, Nathan. Mitchell Santner. He wasn't real.
Not real.
He wasn't real. Nathan Lyon, another five from the first innings here. We should be saying we're recording this during day four of the test match. Yeah. So we are guessing that Australia's going to win by 8 million runs again. 5 wickets for Nathan Lyon. He's now 16th on the all-time wicket takers list. 384 wickets. Went to pass Ian Botham in the first innings for most wickets ever taken. He's probably going to reach 450, maybe even 500. He's played 96 test matches. Don't rate him.
Nah, Swepson should have played.
It is funny with Lyon, isn't it? Because, like, where do you place Lyon in the greats?
Yeah,
his record is amazing. There's so many wickets, 96 Test matches. He's probably going to play 120 plus Test matches.
Don't throw numbers at me.
Yeah. Okay. Feelings. What are your feelings? What do you feel when you see him bowl?
I feel a half-hearted shrug constantly when I see him. Partridge. I'm like, it's great. Yeah, partridge shrug.
Mm-hmm. It's just it's sort of cricket.
It's
in
good.
Itself.
I get it. I get it. I get it. He's a good bowler. He's a good craftsman. He's a tradesman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tradesman
like
bowler.
Yeah, I think like he's, you would describe him as a very good bowler, and his record is great. And so there's just a bit of a disconnect between those two things.
But there's a blankness to your expression when you're saying even those admittedly positive words.
Yeah.
He's good bowler and he'll be regarded as great.
Well, I guess I'm saying like there's a disconnect between like normally a great record reveals like a great bowler. Like if you see someone with that kind of record, you think when they come on to bowl, batsmen are quaking in their boots. But normally line is tends to be doing a job containing in a, you know, yeah, a good craftsman-like way. But he's going to end up with this record that would suggest he was an absolute worldie.
People aren't going to be writing songs about him. Paul Kelly won't write a song about him.
I was just thinking, watching him bowl yesterday, like, I've never seen him bowl a bad spell, where I was just like, oh, that was a really bad spell. Right. And you very rarely see him bowl bad ball. Sometimes it's just a bit nothing. It is a bit partridge shrug. Mm-hmm. It's just a bit like, nothing really much happening here. Mm. But also, like, he's probably getting heaps of wickets because the guys he's bowling with are just an incredible fast bowling attack. And we've learned that, like in Australia,
it's always a good backhanded compliment, isn't it?
Yeah, de Grandhomme style bowling does not work here. Mm. James Anderson bowling here doesn't even really work. Mm. It needs to be fucking trajectory, pace, velocity, as Pez said last week. That's the style of wickets. 6'8"
velocity.
And so Lyon comes on, who is a very good bowler. And they're like, well, I need to score some runs now. And probably gets a few wickets that way. Mm. But then, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't reckon. And like, batsmen maybe don't go after him because they want to keep him on.
Maybe.
Just hit him out of the attack. No, I mean, I don't think that's true. But yeah, I know what you mean. He goes, it's a function of longevity as well. He's obviously kept his spot.
Sure.
And like, you know, he's come into the Aussie side after sort of 10 years of combing around for a Shane Warne replacement before we realised that there will never be anyone like him again. Mm-hmm. And they've ended up, you know, settling on spinners now that are, can like lock a batsman in who can go at 2.5 and over, control the pace of the game so that the quicks can rest. And, you know, he does that. And, yeah, he's getting a bit better at coming into his own on the, you know, in the fourth innings.
But they don't excite or titillate us.
He doesn't excite or titillate, no.
Yeah, for a guy who's played 96 tests, he's probably won very few games. Whereas, like, I still think that, like, Australian, the public are excited by a Schwepson leg spin immediately. Yeah. You're still thinking Warne.
Yeah.
And, like, the skill of Warne, like, leg spin is the hardest skill in cricket. Mm. And the control that Warne had, he could win you a game and fucking just with immaculate
control. And humiliate batsmen.
Spin us.
Like
humiliate
can embarrass
spin
people.
Us to victory. Yeah. Delight us. Sweep us. You know.
Sweep us off our feet with your spin.
We want to be swept off our feet.
Are you guys talking to fucking 1920s salesmen, though?
Yeah. Talking about 1920s musicals. Broadway. Wonderful performance.
So Lyon has now got a 5 against every test team. He's got 7 against India, 3 against Bangladesh, 2 against England, 1 against Pakistan, South Africa, Sri Lanka, West Indies, New Zealand.
Tell me about that. I don't care about that shit.
Never happy.
Feelings.
No correct pictures.
Never happy.
Feelings.
Never happy.
Tell me how to feel.
I mean, the point being that Lyon is the perfect bowler in Australia, really, especially with like this kind of pace.
Yeah.
Anyway,
the point being is he's not Warne, so we're never happy.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. Hey, the World Test Championship, which I know you guys keep a close eye on, and the listeners out there as well.
Yes.
So India are on 360 points. They played 7 games. Australia are on 256 points, playing 9 games. Pakistan are third. They're on 80 points.
Yep.
And England, the only ones we really care about. They're 6th on 56 points. I don't know what the points mean. I don't know how you get the points. I don't know why you shouldn't get double points if you win a game away from home, because as we know, like the home team just always wins. But this
should be a month where you get double points.
Basically, this
it's basically for bonus.
Double demerits.
Double demerits. So Australia's points, the Christmas period, you should get double.
Yeah,
I like that. So this is all heading towards like the next big series, which is in Bangladesh in June. It's just when India come out here after the T20 World Cup, it's heading to like the blockbuster series. Who's going to take it home? But also it's kind of like the Test Championship finals already locked in, right?
I don't know.
India Lords.
That would be good, I guess.
It would be good, don't you reckon?
Yeah.
This is just another forced narrative, like World Test Championship points. Like, there needs to be a place for meaningless cricket. I like dead rubbers where there's literally no meaning and no need for the game to even be taking place, but it must take place for contractual reasons. That's disappointing to me that kind of era is over.
Mm.
I have to now care. Well, I don't, and I won't.
The Big Bash. Melbourne Stars, Sydney Sixers, they lead the competition. Sixers won last night. But probably one of the bigger talking points, Marcus Stoinis fined $7,500 for a homophobic slur. Just that alpha reflex is still there, isn't it? Just that level of like, that's the, yeah. You know, we spoke to Marcus, hit it to Kane Richardson. We also spoke to him. Like they are like actually very nice people, but there seems to be like this reflex of just, I don't know, that kind of.
Well, I saw it described as two alpha males going at it.
Right.
I guess it begs the question, what is a true alpha?
Been trying to answer that for 3 or 4 years. Mm. Yeah, I agree with that. He goes, and obviously Stoinis apologised as well. He seemed to apologise straight away. Gideon Haigh made the point today in The Australian that, like, you know, that said, you know, like $7,500 is like, it's like pocket change for Stoinis.
How they arrive at that number?
I don't know. Yeah. It's part of some policy they have already, right. But like, he'll play the next game. Whereas, like, you know, they really came down hard on Emily Smith.
I was about to say that,
You know, who was rubbed out of the game for, like, 9 months, effectively. A year.
And club cricket as well.
Yeah, and all club cricket, you know, for, you know.
She posted fairly, a team on Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, in a washed-out game.
Yeah, washed-out game. You know, major impact on her. It just seemed, like, a bit inconsistent, you know. I mean,
We've actually never spoken about that. Sorry to cut you off, Pez. We've actually never spoken about that. So that Emily Smith, that is actually fucked up. Like, what her punishment was. That was fucked up.
Yeah. And just sort of, yeah, that's right. Just looking as though you're coming down really hard on those integrity issues, and that you can't, you know, maneuver within your policies. But really, it just lacked common sense and seemed to be like very, very harsh on somebody. And for Stoin, it's like obviously, we love him. I think he's a really good bloke, but you know, you can't abide that kind of behaviour. And he probably should at least miss some cricket as a result.
Yeah.
But he's just, you know, that's not his problem. I just think CA could have. Probably should have come down harder and should come down harder on that kind of behaviour.
I think there's just a disconnect generally. Like, I was actually still thinking about sandpaper and the punishments and stuff. Because I find, like, the... I don't know why I was thinking about this. Oh, I think, like, maybe the Kiwi fans, maybe in Melbourne, were singing about Steve Smith crying or whatever. Mm. And, like...
They were singing Hey Jude, but saying wah.
Yeah.
When people, yeah.
Right.
If you can just sing the Hey Jude chorus, which I'm not going
to
do.
Look, heaps of people are going to listen to this and be like,
it's good.
Nah, that's just funny and it's just good. I just find like the during the Ashes of Steve Smith, like the crying posters and stuff. Like, I just found it like that was like the worst moment of his life, and he was just decimated and like just the toxic.
But we live in the screenshot era where you can take a screenshot of something really humiliating and just use it as a meme.
How dare you cry? How dare you? I just find it kind of strange. And then, the punishment that the three guys got from Sandpaper, my opinion remains is that it was completely disproportionate to the crime.
Well, it was in relation to the social careers. Outrage that was fueled around it, that maybe there wasn't quite enough around
and like how it affected their lives is just like a horrific punishment for what they did. And then Emily Smith, the same thing. Just posted a team on Instagram. Game's washed out anyway. Look, she made it.
Cameron Bancroft didn't know any better. He's only 26.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Only three of them knew, actually.
Anyway, the ODI guys are heading off to India in a couple of weeks, so that'll change the makeup of the Big Bash teams. Who do you think is going to be most affected? The Renegades, that they're struggling, aren't they? The Renegades haven't won a game. They're losing Finch and Kane Richardson, the two best players, so they'll start winning games now.
Yeah, I don't know. A whole bunch of different players start coming into the comp now. Like, AB de Villiers is going to come, isn't he? Shit, I think I had a dream last night. Sean Pollock was coming into one of the sides.
That's good. That's good. Good to see him get back into some work.
Yeah, I've had weirder dreams than that, but still. I was just about to say it. I'm like, oh yeah, Pollock's coming. I'm like, hang on, fuck, I've dreamt that.
Yeah. So your cricket dreams are now like selection based. Oh, God, who's getting picked?
Yeah.
One of the
weird period.
One of the conversations. Who was I talking to?
Maybe he was just thinking about the fires because he had red hair. It's all kind of getting confused and twisted out of your dreams.
Maybe
flame. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I was talking to one of the VIPs. I think it was the first Sydney show or Melbourne. I was one of them, and he was telling me about. He was telling me he got run out in a grand final, and like my cricket dream is that I can't run.
Yeah, I get run out.
Yeah, I'm
going. Sometimes I'm going backwards. I'm trying to run the trilogy.
Yeah,
like going backwards.
So he was telling me that's crazy.
Yeah,
you're trying to get to the crease and you're actually moving further away
from the crease.
Do you go past the other popping?
It's like
crease?
A treadmill when you're on a treadmill and you just stop and you let it take you backwards. That's what it's like.
You go beyond the popping crease down to like mid on. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So he was like telling me the story about he got run out of the final and he was run out by like half a pitch. And I was just like, it just triggered this. I was like, oh, I've had that dream 8 million times. And it actually happened to him in real life. Anyway, cricket dreams, hey?
How good.
Hey, England are playing in South Africa at the moment and they're doing really well in the cricket match. Fucking unbelievable. England lead by 264 runs at the moment at time of recording. But like what's happening off the field there, they're just going down like flies. There was a clip going around of Rory Burns playing football in the day before the test match, hurting his ankle. Now he's out for the tour. This is on the back of like heaps of guys getting sick. Because they just went to, they were playing in New Zealand, weren't they? Now New Zealand are going down like flies as well. So conspiracy?
That clip of Rory Burns is awesome though. He's got an amazing first touch.
Great touch.
Just the pace of that warm-up game of him playing football is quite frightening. And you know, all cricketers know that the warm-up games are more enjoyable and competitive than actually playing.
In Australia, soccer game at track, well, they wouldn't do it obviously because AFL rules everything, but it would just be like blokes heaving it from the from the back.
But they're like the English soccer players or football players are really good.
Yeah,
and like Rory Burns just pulls off this amazing first touch and just kind of you know, he's heading to the byline, so to speak. And he actually, like, he gets an injury that looks like the sort of injury a Premier League player would get. Like, it's not like he's hacked or anything. He just like pulls up. I've just done a ligament, you know, as a result of you know,
my fast twitch vibe is working overtime.
That's right, overuse injuries, you know, from football. I just my leg's just a bit short.
I've suffered a professional sportsman's injury.
Yeah, that's right. Cold comfort for missing a test match, but the injury looked good. It was the right kind of injury. Still looks good getting injured. It looks better getting injured than he does batting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Didn't Bairstow play some good football?
Did he?
He might play some high level stuff. I think his dad played Arsenal. Is that right? Played for Arsenal? In the FA Cup or something like that?
Not sure.
I'm sure someone will tell you that you're wrong.
Yeah,
in the someone, DMs.
Definitely, that's perfect. Hey, we should get Sean Abbott on the show. He's on the show. Yep. And after that, hashtag AskTGC.
Brian Lara, the new batsman. 23 years of age, an average of 30.
Again, Brian Lara goes after it. Just a bit of width there from Craig McDermott. That was enough. The outfield, despite the rain, still quite fast.
Gentlemen, obviously, globalisation has, you know, wrought havoc and made the kind of, you know, internationalisation of businesses and commerce far more, far more normalised.
Good for podcasts.
Really good for podcasts. But, you know, one company that remains, you know, truly Australian-made is Budgie Smuggler, of course.
Nice link.
Yeah, thanks for that. You know, they are not a company that will offshore jobs. You know, they're not holding Ford, you know, with plants closing everywhere. They're just true blue. And I just wanted to make that clear to the listeners.
A true blue, I just think John Williamson straight away.
Steve Waugh.
Because of the song.
Steve Waugh singing John Williamson.
Is it Mum or Dad or a cockatoo? I always wondered that. Yeah.
When you say Steve Waugh, I just immediately think of that image with that at Wimbledon and with those like kind of like Neo glasses that he used to wear, Neo from The Matrix, and they're wearing the baggy green at Wimbledon.
Do you remember in the early 2000s when John Williamson used to come out before Wallabies matches
and sing
Waltzing Matilda on the acoustic and everyone fucking got into it? Do we need more of that or less of that?
Do you remember when people used to watch the Wallabies?
Mm-hmm.
What's Israel Folau doing?
Good point.
Good point.
Budgiesmuggler.com.au.
There it is. Great moment. He's a very, very good young player. Much appreciated by his teammates. And I can guarantee you, as mentioned, there will be hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people around the Caribbean who will be delighted Brian Lara has made his first Test match century.
Awesome.
Okay, boys. This bloke has enjoyed great success at grade level, state level, and now international level, although curtailed by injury at the moment. I'm talking about Sean Abbott. Sean, welcome to the Grade Cricketer.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be on.
Mate, well, firstly, thanks for all the likes on Instagram as well. You really get around us, so it makes us feel really good. Anytime names we recognise.
I see a blue tick, and I think, that makes me feel
good. We have a spreadsheet where we kind of tally up which international cricketers are liking our content, so you're at the top of the list.
Yeah.
I appreciate the good content, mate.
Yeah, that's kind. What is what's your relationship to grade cricket, Sean?
Well, I haven't played a game this year at all. Perfect. Are you talking about playing, or you guys?
The whole thing. We'll talk about us if you want. But playing.
Well, I haven't played a game this year. The one game I was going to play ended up being wrestling, and the captain sprayed me. He's one of my best mates. He's like, mate, I thought you'd want to come out and have a bat. And I was like, yeah, no, I really do, mate. It's just my hamstrings are hanging on by a thread from bowling 1,000 overs this week, so I think I might sit this one out. He wasn't too happy, so because we weren't going really well. So,
You've Sean, you've played for I think two grade clubs. You started at Parramatta, which, you know, where you kind of, I guess, came of age as a cricketer, and but then you also played at Sydney University. Can you compare and contrast the experience of playing for a Western Sydney-based grade team versus playing for an elite tertiary institution with money?
Mm. Vastly different, I can tell you that right now. Vastly different characters. It was pretty good. I grew up playing for Parramatta, so came through the grades there, and then was starting to actually carry on a bit too much as a young kid coming up through grades. So I started chatting to my manager, who's like, maybe we should get you around some guys that have been playing state cricket and grade cricket for a lot longer time and don't get taken to judiciary every week. So
McKinsey consultants, get around a few investment bankers.
Thought I'd go hang out with Greg Mayle for a couple of years. So. Turned out all right.
Have you noticed these fringe guys who are playing first grade, obviously at a high level, and then sort of fringe state players who are getting the big bash contracts? Have you seen them be cock of the walk, so to speak, down at grade training? Are they sort of like the big dogs at clubs?
Turning up in their Sixers gear,
yeah. That kind of Thunder gear, that kind of stuff. Yeah, you see that?
I haven't seen it personally, but I've heard a lot of stories, which has been absolutely great, because they come up to, obviously not a lot of them, a couple of them haven't really played a game for the Sixers yet, or maybe one or two, and they're super nice, don't really say much or whatever, they're pretty quiet, and then you hear they go back to grade cricket and they're giving it large at training.
Perfect.
Obviously the one that you guys posted with the about the batting gloves.
Yeah. So, for background for the listeners there, we got sent this, we discovered this post on Facebook in one of the player groups, and a player essentially who is involved in the New South Wales cricket setup, possibly on the fringe, has written on his grade site, oh, hey, would anyone like to, I don't like wearing new gloves, would anyone like to wear in my new gloves before giving them back to me? and it was funny because, when we saw it, we just sent it around to each other and we were just like, this has got to go, this has got to go up. And then simultaneously, we each started getting texts from all these players within the New South Wales cricket team saying, can you please post this? Protecting the player's identity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, it hasn't come out yet.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think
there's plenty of stories about that player, so hopefully a few more come out.
I think we've actually really narrowed down who that person is. So, he's sort of fringe, plays a bit of grade. Yeah.
Batted well last night.
Posted his efforts all over Instagram already as well. I think, I don't know, it might be the wrong player.
Yeah, it might be the wrong
player. It could be anyone. That could be anyone.
That's right.
Sean Marsh.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Not Josh Forbes. Okay, so you sort of mentioned you spent a bit of time at the judiciary as well. What's that like?
Not me.
Oh, not you. Not okay.
No. Just other players that I was playing with.
Right.
I was starting to carry on a bit like them and really start to toe the line sort of. When it comes to my carrying on the field, so word started to get around, so it was time for a change.
We're probably talking a fair bit here about dynamics within teams and clubs and structures and stuff, and obviously the IPL auction has just happened a couple of weeks ago or whatever. And is it kind of weird when you start hearing guys you're playing with and against guys who are just going for massive money, whilst you're also playing with guys who are playing grade cricket? There's a real fucking gap there between guys earning millions of dollars in the IPL, but also grade cricketers as well. Is it kind of strange learning about the money that you're playing, money that guys are earning?
Yeah, it's obviously incredible. I mean, Cummo obviously just went for massive wedge, and he's a couple of Shield games ago was playing with guys that have played it was their second Shield game or something. They've only ever been on a rookie contract or whatever. Mm. So it was, it's incredible that I can, be in the same team in a way. I've never actually thought of that, but it's incredible, isn't it?
Essentially performing the exact same job. It's different to being CEO of a bank or something who's on, 10 million and, someone on 40K. You guys are literally all batting, bowling and fielding, but someone's on 3.5 million and another bloke's on 30K.
Yeah, it's incredible. Probably why we carry on so much.
Probably.
The pay gap.
Yeah.
Speaking of carry on and how you separate yourself in the BBL, for example, it's a competition really rife for people building their brands, guys are wearing dreadlocks or, definitely not wearing hats so they can show off their salad, things like that. Do you find the BBL is a place where a lot of players are quite conscious of how they brand themselves, beyond just playing cricket?
Absolutely, mate. I think barbers make a hell of a lot of money before the first game of Big Bash. The day before or the 2 days before, everyone's out gotten fresh haircuts.
Yeah, in-house barbers.
Yeah. I was actually filthy last night. I was I'd sent a couple of texts in a group chat with Harry Conway and Nick Maddison, and I found this photo of Zac Efron, and I really wanted his silver salad. I was going to dye my hair silver, and then I got to the ground. Jake Reddell's already done the same thing, so now I can't go and do that.
It's tough out there. Everyone's kind of, you know, on trend and creating it. Yeah,
this is very relatable for our listeners as well. Very relatable stuff. Sean, side strain has left you out of the upcoming India tour. You must be disappointed to miss out on a few weeks of superior air quality in India.
Yeah, I can't wait. Mate, I'll tell you right now, don't get sick while you've got a side strain. Last night, I was just trying to sit on the toilet and vomit while I got a side strain. So the air quality wasn't great in my room last night either.
Oh, well done.
Been a bad 24 hours.
Yeah, it's the name of the show.
I think I added a couple of weeks to my recovery after yesterday getting sick.
Well, mate, it's been such a crazy summer for you. Obviously, got back into the Australian team. You're playing in Perth. You're playing in that ODI game, and you're doing really well as well. And then you sort of have this hiccup here. Like it's got to be like really upsetting, given you have this like great path and great trajectory and a great summer, and then this comes along, and now you're talking to us on the internet. So, sorry about that.
Nah, no need to be sorry, mate. It happens.
But I mean, you have enjoyed, you know, a shed load of success in the BBL. It's a roundabout question. We sort of asked the same thing to Kane, you know, like for like cricket Luddites like us, it can be hard to understand how some bowlers are successful and some aren't, because we're not just talking about pace and velocity and all that kind of stuff. You know, like what is, you know, your approach to bowling? I know with Kane, he was talking about just a bit of luck and a lot of slower balls into the wicket, you know, kind of thing. Like, I mean, what's your method?
Obviously, I mean, everyone can probably tell that, you know, you can bowl the house down one night and still go for 50, or you can bowl a load of dross and, you know, take 2 for 30 or whatever. You know, there's a fair bit of luck involved given the way the game's played, but probably a bit similar to Kane. Your strengths are probably bowling slow balls into the wicket. It's definitely not my Yorkers, because a couple of years ago Travis Head hit me for 50 off 2 overs to lose the game. So I haven't really gone back to the Yorkers for a while, but I don't know, probably pretty similar to Kane, but I'm not executing as well as he is at the moment. He's on top of his game. He's the lead at the minute.
Sean, former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd recently called for a big Australia policy to deal with the might of a rising China. Do you agree the best way to take on China's unprecedented economic development and swelling population is just to get fucking massive? And does this finally mean that chest and pipes are the most important thing, not only in cricket, but also in geopolitics, as we strive desperately to deal with this new world order?
I'm not sure it's important in that regard. I think it's more important to build your brand, like you said earlier on, when you're playing the Big Bash, especially with the bright colours they're wearing. They really show off.
Yeah.
Really show off your features.
show off your features.
Cheekbones.
Kevin Rudd's a bit of a loon, but he probably did a better job than ScarMo anyway.
Yeah, political stuff. Let's get into
it. I like it.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
I was going to nice add on. Well played. Just in terms of like branding, like we saw you do the roving mic stuff after the game a couple of times now. Like, how does it transpire? Where like, does like a producer come into the dressing room and be like, oh, who wants to be mic'd up today? Does someone want to wear the lid that has a camera on it? Who wants to do the stuff after the game? Like, is this all kind of distracting? Like, and how does that transpire that someone comes in and decides who does that?
Well, it's looked after by the team media manager.
Right.
I don't know why they keep asking me, but I was meant to do it last month. I said, I'm not even playing. And then I just got sent home by the doctor at halfway anyway. But
perfect.
So I was obviously meant to be sitting in the dugout. And Greg Shepherd, the coach, doesn't like doing the interviews during the game. So I was roped in to do them. So it might be like other people don't want to do them, and they just give it to someone who's looking to build their brand, like we said a couple of times earlier today.
Yeah.
Look, there's usually a couple of people that really want to do it. Daniel, we need to get the mic away from Daniel Hughes, though. I'm sick of... He just yells. I don't know. He just yells down the mic. Oh, that's nice. He says the same shit every day.
It must be so strange
like,
to,
new
to, to have the earpiece in and you're just playing, and then does someone just come in to go, oh, Sean, we're going to have a chat to you in a second?
I've never worn it on the ground, but when I was doing the roaming stuff, they got the person in your ear, like asking questions and stuff. And then the second time that I did it, I think it was Abby Way, I think her name is now, because she just got married, but gave this big spiel and kept cutting in and out. And I was like, yeah, sorry, Abby, I got absolutely none of that. And it was live TV.
Nice.
Yeah.
And
nice.
Then the rest of it, I was rattled, so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Sean, we're going to make a move on the basis of being pretty hungover, to be honest. So thanks so much for joining us, mate. Thank you for all the love on social media as well. All the best.
Okay, but coming, eh?
Coming back. All the best with the comeback to the injury and the return to the national side, mate.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Enjoy your hangover.
Thanks, mate.
Has he got a bat on it? That's the question. Ryan Lara didn't give the umpire much opportunity to signal byes there. And when he got about 5 metres from the crease, he started waving his bat to the West Indies crowd. Not only a very fine batsman, but also a very smart one.
Hashtag Ask TGC. Before we get into it, just a huge thank you to everyone who came to all of the live shows that we did across the summer. We wrapped up the tour in Sydney the other night, the Comedy Store. That was a wonderful night. Richard Cheekway, superb guest. We sung Can't Bowl, Can't Throw, two nights in a row. Probably the highlight of some of the highlights of the TGC's history, Hall of Fame stuff.
Hall of Fame stuff for us.
Yeah, it's good fun.
Bucket list shit. That was real good. He was good. Yeah, what a really performer, good. Stage yeah. man. Real really range, good. Earnest yeah. stuff, stories, one-liners, and music chops.
Yeah. The crowd in all the shows were fantastic. We had Melbourne and Sydney, and there were some loose crowds, some loose people, some funny people in the crowds. We got to laugh at them.
A couple of evictions too.
Couple of evictions. We laughed, we cried, we felt, didn't we? Yeah. Felt tip pen. Can't turn my brain off. It's a real problem. All right, Rowan writes in, I'm a 6'4" guy who used to open the bowling. After fracturing my ankle in the winter, I switched to leggies this season. I've been taking more wickets than I did bowling pace, but with half the effort. Should I stick with it, even though I know how yuck a tall spinner looks?
Depends how many wickets you're getting, Rowan, really. I mean, if you're decimating your position, then yeah, stick with it. Call yourself a sort of Tiger O'Reilly type. But at the same time, like, I'm 5'9" or some shit. Like, if I'm 6'4", I'm bowling pace.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck, like, how good I'd be at leg spin or whatever. Like, bowl wheels, bowl trajectory. Yeah. Hit a good length and watch the ball rear up at somebody's shoulders, you know? That's like, appreciate that. Appreciate your height.
He's going against God, is what he's doing.
Yes.
He's 6'4" is tall at club level as well.
Yeah.
That's a big man.
In Clubland.
Clubland, that's a big guy.
Clubland.
Yeah. You don't see many tall leggies, do you?
No.
You see a lot of tall blokes just rolling the arm over the doorknobs, the off spinners.
Yeah, just these
Not
ones.
A lot of wrist work.
Mm. How do you execute the hardest skill in cricket whilst also being 6'4"?
Yeah.
Like, he should be bowling, as I say, it's going against God, it's unnatural.
Yeah, what's he doing? Sort of just like bowling into the wicket, getting like balls hitting gloves, he's getting catches in close. That's no fun. Mm.
Yeah. Anyway.
He's getting wickets because people are confused what's happening.
Yeah.
That's why he's getting wickets.
His pace,
but he's a good cricketer.
All right. Thanks Rowan. Daniel writes in, Dear TGC, I distinctly remember my dad routinely taking me down to the nets to work on your cover drive during my formative playing years. Standing approximately 11 yards away with cricket ball in hand, he would repeatedly throw the ball in areas that would require any shot but a cover drive. In fact, most balls were hurled at my legs and often followed by, hit it for God's sake, you have a bat in your hands, don't you? Or, you've got pads on, it won't hurt you. As a result, I now have a crippling fear of anything straight, can't play a cover drive, and have been out LBW so many times it doesn't hurt anymore, yet my dad continues to watch me play. Can you clarify and explain my relationship with my dad? Because I'm confused. Thanks.
Well, he's come to the right place, obviously.
Yeah. Clarify and explain his relationship. Well, presumably, his father suffered similar treatment from his father, his father before that. So you in turn will do the same should you have children one day. It's just a cycle. It's learned behaviour. It's not hereditary. Yeah.
Isn't that just a nice image of Australiana, just like a father taking his son down to the nets, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hurling balls at his legs and working the cover drive. Dad might just be really funny and he's just getting his own kicks. Yeah,
set him up. Couple away, one into the pads, send him off. LB against his bare legs.
I do like this emerging trend because we had this in the live shows as well, where basically everyone who's shit at cricket is now starting to blame their parents.
Hmm.
You know, it's like that. That's a
That's a very millennial.
It's a very New York neurotic kind of thing. Yeah. Like, just go to therapy, work out that everything that's wrong with you is your parents' fault, including your inability to play a cover drive.
It's much easier. Fuck, it's tough being a parent.
Yeah.
Okay, last one today. Josh, hey guys, just thought it was worth mentioning that my dad, fuck another dad one, came to one of my games today for the first time in years. He's just had surgery and can't drive, so I had to take him with me. I opened the batting and got a good one early, brackets half tracker that I top edge straight up, close brackets. Dad then decided walking home 15Ks was better than staying around to watch the rest of the day. It is currently 38 degrees. It's a hard finish there, not even a full stop.
One of my good mates from cricket, we were playing an under-21s game and his dad was so upset with his son's dismissal, he walked home 19 kilometres.
Unbelievable. Just to let off some steam.
Oh, God. Is that what can await you as a father? Like, is the disappointment of your own progeny's failure worse than your own?
Is it, that is a reflection on me, or am I just disappointed for my son's future?
Yeah.
I like the real-time aspect of that, so like... Yeah. He obviously said it's currently 38 degrees. So, like, it's happened.
It actually dropped to 33 by the time he got home.
He's literally got back to his kit, played a bad shot. He's like, where's dad? He's on the where's dad. Looked around. He's seen dad walking down the road. Yeah. So, well, the only thing I can do now is run into the great cricketer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to explain this scenario to me.
My dad has opted to walk home after surgery. 15Ks.
How do you know your dad went straight home? He might have gone, might have gone to the shops, might have gone to get a massage.
Yeah.
Why is that so funny?
Yeah.
Because I'm still drunk because it's a festive season. Well, it's not anymore. It's the first day back at work, January 6th. Hey, happy 2020 to everyone out there. Sure, probably should have said that at the top of the show, but I didn't because I'm bad at my job. Thanks to Dave Edwards. Thanks to Sam Perry. Thanks to Sean Abbott for joining us on the phone. Probably we haven't called him yet. Let's see what happens. If he's not there, happened again. Yeah. It's happened again. We'll see you next week on the Great Cricketer Podcast. Stay safe out there, people.